Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
To sin and things that come down, not of the world shall turn me around. Daily I'm working, I'm praying to hand glory. Amen. I'm free, free, free. Amen. Walk that song we do. Thank you. Yeah. Like that song we sing. Thank on that one song. We just thank God I'm free, free, free from this world of sin. Have I been washed in the blood of Jesus? I've been born again. Hallelujah. I'm saved. Say. Hey, aren't you glad about that? Amen. Amen.
My mama and daddy talked about going home since I was just a babe on their knees. They said that nothing compares to what was waiting up there, how one day we would finally be free. Well, I've never seen it, but I keep on believing it will be a place like I've never known. I keep my eyes on the sky, cause my soul wants to fly. Lord, my heart is ready to go. I want to know how it feels to have a walk down the street of gold. I want to know how it feels to have a talk with the saints of old. I want to know what it's like to rest my feet by the weary from this life that I live. It seems like peace is something so hard to find. I try to lighten my load when all that I've got to show is 700 things on my mind. Well, I'm seeing visions of a crystal clear river where sin's forgotten without a trace. More than I've ever dreamed, my eyes long to see that look of love on my Savior's face.
Need to pray for Christy Ford. She's held anger at me all day long. Barry told me tonight it's been a rough day around her house. She hadn't been right. She came into choir practice upset. See, I know. Oh, yeah. I asked her to give me a shot after church, and so that's what she's talking about. That needle's getting bigger and bigger. And I can see her now going, oh, didn't break. Oh, didn't take again. Oh, one more time. And that's going to be, that's what my evening's looking forward to. Worked on this old song tonight with the choir, and I don't know, we got pretty happy with it, and it's not perfect, and we're probably going to hit a key change that y'all are going to go, but we're going to sing it anyway. So you pray for them as they sing tonight, and listen to Brother John Spivey. I love to hear Brother John when he prays. Every time he starts praying, I listen every time. I can't pay attention to anything's going on because I listen to the words that when he calls on somebody to pray in here, I just hang on what they're saying, But when Brother John Spivey starts praying, it just touches my heart. But when he starts singing, and I know he feels the words that he's singing, it, and it's coming from his heart, it really blesses me. You pray for him as he sings the second verse on this tonight.
Eternal life. don't know about you, but that's good stuff right there. I've enjoyed today worshiping the Lord. And I've watched some that are in the middle of battles praying. But then I've also seen some of you that have been in a battle. Some for a long time. And I've just watched how God has brought you through. And then some of you, the Lord has allowed to see the end of that battle even this week. And I believe with all my heart that God blesses those that are faithful and you're consistent. And we should, I believe, be faithful and consistent because we serve a Lord that is faithful and consistent. We shouldn't give Him our second best, but we should give Him our best. Brother Mike and I, Mike Williams, have been talking off and on about tithing and how in the Old Testament, the requirement 10%. And I know there were other, we won't get into all the details, but anyway. So we get into the New Testament and people say, well, we live in a time of grace, so we don't have to adhere to what the Old Testament said. The funny thing about that is in the New Testament, when they got saved in the New Testament, they went out and sold everything. So I suggest, Christians, that you thank God it's 10%. And just trust God. But He's faithful to those whom are faithful. And I appreciate Brother Mike. He's been faithful. I've been here 10 years, and he and Glenda have been here, almost maybe 10 years. And Brother Mike and Miss Glenda have been faithful during all that time. And so, brother, if you would, you come and you give us what the Lord has laid on your heart. Whatever that is, it'll be right. And then after that, Brother Doug and I are taking our chances. Amen.
I don't know whether I want to quit chewing on this gum or not. It's still got some sweet in it. I guess I'll sacrifice it for the cause. Amen. I've had several ask me, did I have any Glenda stories?
He told me to shut you off.
I said that and he raised it all the way up. I guess he wanted to hear everything. I don't. She's been behaving for the last little while. But I promise you, when she gets out of line again, I'll let you know. This afternoon, I've been kind of struggling a little bit with the sermon that the Lord laid on my heart last week. The preacher one of his thoughts kind of run across one of the thoughts I'll be bringing tonight. So the devil jumps on my shoulder and says, it's already been said. You don't need to be up there saying it again. And then the devil has been telling me that I preached it here before. You know how that goes. And I fought with it for a little bit. And finally I said, Lord, do you want me to preach this or not? And I had peace in my heart. So I'm going to let her rip, Tater Chip. I'm going to tell you what I believe the Lord has laid on my heart, and I believe it'll be a blessing to you if you listen with your heart. If you have your Bible, I'd like for you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 33. I'll read one verse. We'll set the context in a moment. Deuteronomy 33:27. I've got one verse that I want to read. And without even setting the context, it preaches all by itself. In verse number 27, Moses said, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust the enemy out from before thee, and shall say, destroy them." Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, we thank you for the great promises you've given us in the Word of God. Now, Father, I pray that as we look at what Moses instructed the children of Israel to do before they crossed the Jordan River, Father, I pray that you would help impress upon our hearts, God, our need for you. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be faithful to not only cross that river, but to be willing to fight the battles that you've got for us in that new land. Now, Father, I pray that your will be done tonight. Thank you, God, for the Spirit of the Lord that we've heard, all that we've felt already. And Lord, I am glad that I'm yours and you're mine, and it will be that way forever. I thank you, God, for the promise. Now, Father, I pray your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. In chapter number 31, Moses announces that God has chose Joshua to lead the children of Israel in his place. In chapter number 32, Moses sings his final song of victory. And in verses number 48 through 52 of that chapter, God begins to prepare Moses for death. You remember, instead of speaking to the rock, he smote the rock, and because of that, in the wilderness, because of that, God said, you ain't going across and seeing the new land. And so he was fixing to pay the price for sin, and God was beginning to deal with his heart about that. Then in our chapter number 32, God begins to work through Moses to get the people ready to cross over the Jordan River. He begins to give blessings, and encourage his people. Now, in some of the other chapters, early 30s, late 20s chapters of the book of Deuteronomy, Moses was given instruction, but it was not so pretty. He was given some hard instructions and talking to them about their father's past behavior and about their behavior if they're going to be able to go into the land of promise. But now in verse number 34, chapter number 34, and part of chapter number 33, he's blessing them and encouraging them to be faithful in the new land and to trust God before all things. And as I began to think about that, I thought about how Moses knew in the book of Numbers, he already knew that it was fear that caused the children of Israel not to cross over and go into the Canaan land. He already knew the fear was their problem. And the only thing that will defeat fear is faith. And I believe from that point on, Moses began to work with the children of Israel, the new generation that was coming up, about their faith and where to put it and to be faithful in the keeping it there. And I thought about how that he was preparing them here to put faith in front of fear and cross over into that Jordan, into that land of promise. I thought about that. I believe it's fear now that keeps us a lot of times from crossing over into the land of victory. A lot of us are on the wrong side of the Jordan River because we fear the walled cities. We fear the giants. We fear the obstacles that are on the other side. And instead of trusting the Lord, we hang on to every little excuse that we can find to keep us over into out of the land of Canaan. Then I thought about other things that causes fear, especially in this day and time. And I promised myself I wasn't going to meddle, but I hadn't done this in a while, and I'm going to meddle just a little bit. I think a lot of times Christians are in fear of hurting somebody's feelings over the truth. And because of that fear, they will not stand the way that they ought to stand. I believe that sometimes instead of standing up for what's right and crying out and saying that's wrong, it ain't right, and being God's people and being His mouthpiece and standing up against this world, we just don't do it because we're afraid of what the world's going to say. I read about, over the last several months, I've been reading about some schools that in not just taking God out of it, but they're promoting every ungodly thing in the world in the school. They're trying to get the kids all confused about gender stuff, and they're trying to get the kids confused about homosexuality, abortion, and all the other things that we hate as the children of God. But in those communities, they're getting by with it, and the reason is because God's people have gone quiet. They don't want to offend nobody. The Bible tells us to be temperate, but it doesn't tell us to be tolerant. And I believe that we need to stand up in this day and hour against the sin that goes on in our day. And I see a parallel to this. Fear is what kept them from living the victorious life. Fear is what keeps us from standing the way we ought to stand. Fear is what keeps us from worshiping God the way that we ought to do. And so tonight I want to talk about the faith that counsels fear. And when you look at the text verse that we read, and we begin to think about what it's saying, I believe there we can find the truth that we can anchor our hearts and minds on. And it doesn't matter when we see the truth of what Moses is saying here. It won't matter what the world says. The eternal God will be our refuge. And underneath His everlasting arms, and underneath are His everlasting arms. And He shall thrust out the enemy and say, destroy him. I want to say just a few things about that verse. First of all, I see a consideration that anchors our faith. It's in that phrase, the eternal God is thy refuge. When we put our faith in anything other than Jesus Christ and God and them alone, Him alone, then, dear friend, our faith is going to falter and it's going to fail. But when we put our faith in the eternal God, then friends, we've got something to stand on, and we've got an anchor that'll hold in the midst of the storm. The phrase here speaks of a changeless person. He is the eternal God. The word eternal means the front. It means literally the front, and it speaks of both time and place. And here we find that if we anchor our faith in the God of old, who never changes, who had no beginning, who has no ending, who never changes, then, dear friend, we can be happy of serving the Lord the way that we ought to, because our anchor's in the right place. I'm not anchored to a job. I am anchored to my wife. But I'm not anchored to a job. I don't have to serve the devil. In fact, I didn't. That's why I don't have a job. But I don't have to worry about all that. Since I've lost the job, I'm wearing a brand new pair of Rockport shoes. I am. God's taking good care of me. I hadn't missed a dinner. And Glenda, like I said, she's been doing better as far as behaving. God's been good to me. He's been very good. So I don't, what's the problem? Why? It's because when the devil begin to blow, I don't understand what all's going on in my life, but I know who I've anchored in, and I know that the God, the eternal God, promises that He'll be my refuge, my safe place. It speaks of a comforting place, not only of a changeless person, but a comforting place. He is thy refuge. Now, I want you to notice here, He said, the eternal God. Now, when you say the, that's the only one, right? I mean, there is the University of Alabama, and then there's Auburn. But the University of Alabama, where is William? William, I'm sorry. But the truth is the truth. He says, the everlasting God is thy refuge. He is, with all certainty, he is thy very personal refuge. Whatever it is that you need tonight, your eternal God knows about it, and he will be a refuge for you. No matter what the world's doing, God will be for you, and he'll help you. We had our grandkids this weekend, and it's been a real blessing. But they sent this CD, and it's got children's songs on it and all this kind of stuff. And those kids would put it on, and they'd sing to it'd raise the roof. And if you had a headache, it didn't go away while they were singing, I can promise you. And they were singing that. But one of the songs that was on it, it says, if God be for you, who can be? Who can be against you? And they were singing that over and over and over again to the top of their lungs. And I thought about what I'd be preaching tonight. And I thought, yes, that's it. When we anchor in God and we're faithful to him, he will be for us. And he'll not ever fail us. He will be an eternal refuge for you and me. He's the eternal God. And I believe because he is eternal, that refuge is eternal. No matter what we're facing, my eternal God knows exactly what I need at any given moment in my life. And he is, not he'll provide, but he is my refuge if I come to him. There's another thing I want to look at, and that is in the second portion of that scripture. He says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And here I find a certainty that consoles faith. A certainty that consoles faith. He says, underneath are the everlasting arms. Arms speak of strength. Arms speak of power. And he's not talking about my power or my strength, but the strength of the arms of the everlasting God who provides for me a refuge. In him, I can lean upon those arms and be safe. And I thought about the depths of the reach of his arm, the depth of the reach of his arm. The word underneath literally means the bottom. And Moses knew that when the children of Israel got over into the land of Canaan, there were going to be times when they hit the bottom. In fact, God knows that every one of us that's been saved by the grace of God will at some point reach the bottom of some capacity in our life. It may be emotional. It may be physical. It may be spiritual. But somewhere, sometime, God knows we're going to hit the bottom. And when we get there, we can know that his everlasting arms will be there, because the Bible says underneath or even at the bottom is his everlasting arms. The word, the root word for this word underneath is a depressing, the humbling, the beating down. Are you here tonight after being beaten down by the devil all week? God bless you for being here. But did you know there's a refuge? And if you're at the bottom, you can look around and you'll find his everlasting arms. And he's prepared and willing to pick you up and put you back on the top if you will put your faith and confidence in him. He says here, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And I'm so glad that when we reach the uttermost limits of life at the bottom, and when we're being beaten down by the world, I want to tell you, dear friends, there at the bottom we'll find God faithful. The everlasting God will show up with his everlasting arms, and he'll pick us up. There's no comfort and no consolation sweeter than knowing that you're wrapped up in the arms of God. Is none. I've had my wife console me, and it was sweet. But when I got out to my study and got on my knees and I felt the hand of God move in my soul. Oh, that was so much sweeter. And I love her, but she ain't as sweet as the Lord. I think about the depths that his arms will reach. Then I think about the distance that his arms will reach. Everlasting is a word that's hard to express, because when we try to express it, we're attempting to reach the unreachable, to explain the unexplainable. The word means vanishing point. And I thought about what is he saying here? The vanishing point. He's talking about the distance of the arms of the Lord. I'm so glad. And let me say this to you that got lost loved ones. Your lost loved one may be on the bottom. Your lost loved one may be so far out in sin that they're past the vanishing point of your sight. But God ain't forgot them. He knows where they're at. His arm can still reach them if we'll pray and trust the Lord. But what he's saying here to the people of God is, he's saying, Moses, like Moses, call them over to the side and said, here, guys, I want you to look across this river. I want you to look as far as your eyes can see. And when you're looking at the vanishing point of your sight, the eternal God will be there, and his everlasting arms will lift you up when you fall. He's saying to them, you can't get away from God. He's going to go with you, just like he would have for your forefathers. He'll be with you if you'll trust him and walk across this Jordan River. I'm so glad that I have that certainty that consoles faith. I know all about the arms of the Lord. He's picked me up and dusted me off so many times and put me back where I needed to be so many times that I've come to expect it. And when I trip and fall and can't get up on my own, I say, just hang on. He'll be here in just a minute. And sure enough, he shows up and he helps his children. So that's a consolation or certainty that consoles faith. But there's another thing here that excited me, especially this afternoon. I had to go back and change all my notes when I saw this afternoon. The Bible says that he shall thrust them, or thrust the enemy, from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. I find here a commitment that rewards faith. A commitment that rewards faith. And it's not our commitment that I'm talking about right here. I'm talking about God's commitment. The Bible says he shall thrust them from the enemy from before thee, and shall say to them, and shall say, destroy them. But it's God who's doing the thrusting. And I thought about all that, and I thought about how that what it sounds like to me is that God gives me a chance to win the battle that's already been won. I mean, he's already won it. He just lets me come through and mop it up. He lets me come through and be the relief pitcher, if you will. We're already ahead 15-0. But go in there, son. Get those last three outs. He lets me come in and share in the victory. I noticed that it's him that's doing the thrusting. But then he says to us, go on and destroy him. It's like I was watching the football game a little bit yesterday. Alabama's starters played for about a half or three quarters. And then they got all the little kids and let them go out there and play the rest of the game. You see, God's already won the game. It's already over. It's already 58,000-0. He's already won it. But then he looks over at me and sees me in my shoulder pads and my helmet, and I'm ready to go. And he says, all right, son, get in there. Tear them up. Go on. Get with it now. And so I thought about that, and I'm thankful for the times when God let me thought that I won a victory, when all the time it was won before I ever got on the field. Amen. And I was thinking about all the things that are going on in our church. It's an exciting time to be a part of this church. There's a mixture of old and new that's coming together to gel into something that I believe is going to be very special, very special. And I believe that the people of God are going to enjoy great success in the will of God as we go forward. But did you know what? No matter how much we're successful, no matter how many people get saved, it was God doing the work. All before we ever even got there, it was God, and it always will be. And I thought about those three things. And no wonder the songwriter wrote, "What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I've got perfect peace. Leaning on my Lord so dear. Leaning on the everlasting arms." Let's sing it, if you will. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Brother, I don't know if we need an invitation or not. But I do want to say this to my brothers and sisters who may be down on the bottom, who may be going through the depression, who may be at this particular moment considering giving up. I want you to know I've been there. I've thought it through myself from time to time. But there's no sweeter fellowship that you'll ever find than your eternal, your everlasting God. And His eternal arms and His power and strength that can be felt in your life. You won't feel that nowhere else in this world. You won't feel it except with Him. And I want to encourage you. I want you to encourage you to listen to what Moses said. He said, "Children, I want you to go across this river. But I want you to remember you've got God on your side. And His everlasting arms is going to be with you. And He's going to bring the victory. You just go on." And I want to say to you that may be in the depressing and may be down on your luck a little bit, may be down and out, about to reach the bottom. Look for Him. He's there. Don't put your faith in anything else. The same eternal God that saved the children of Israel is still with us. And He's still taking care of His children. I've said what's on my heart, preacher. You come ahead.
Lord, take my life and make it holy thine. Fill my poor heart.
Sing that again.
Lord, take my life and make it holy thine. Fill my poor heart. Great love, deep.
my passion and self and pride. I now surrender, Lord, in me. Abide.
Praise the Lord. Brother Mike, that was fantastic. You may be seated. Appreciate that wonderful message. It was encouraging but challenging all at the same time. And I know I needed that, and I trust you did as well.
When you consider the cross where the Savior bled and died for you, when you imagine the poor for his passion to pay sin's price for you, you cannot find the words to say for such a thing as this. Just call it what you want, so call it what it is. Call it amazing, call it grace, call it a simple plan that God would take our place. But don't call it easy, 'cause there's nothing quite like this. Call it amazing, call it what it is. You may call it a gift, for it is a gift, God's gift to you. You may call it love, for it's truly love, God's love for you. You can call it the answer, the bridge for sins abyss. Who call it everything, just call it what it is. Oh, call it amazing, call it grace, call it a simple plan that God would take our place. But don't call it easy, 'cause there's nothing quite this. Call it amazing, call it what it is. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Call it amazing, call it grace, call it a simple plan that God would take. Cause there's nothing quite like this. Call it amazing, call it what it is. Amazing, call it what it is. Amazing,
call it amazing.
Glorious time.
Amen.
I asked the Lord a few months ago, I said, Lord, you'll allow us to see souls saved. We'll fill this baptismal pool up as often as we need to. And I believe the Lord is answering prayers.
Amen.
From within the church and without, God is answering prayers. Brother, you come on. Dear Brother Doug, and this is my friend, as I said this morning. He's a friend, and as I said, he's also my brother.
Yeah, amen.
In obedience to the divine commandment of our Lord Jesus Christ and Savior, and upon your profession of faith in him, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his death. Good.
Amen.
Pastor Payne, would you come and draw the congregation forward? If there's any announcements that need to be made, Brother Dave, Brother William, you'll take care of that. I appreciate it.